thought it was Easter time. The way the light rose that morning.
You're listening to Tori Amos. She burst onto the music scene in the early 90s with a double platinum success of her album Little Earthquakes. Ever since, she's been carving out her own special niche, veering between rock superstar and quirky singer-songwriter. In her album The Beekeeper and her recent memoir Piece by Piece, Amos shows a particular fascination with the women of sacred texts who weren't afraid of their sexuality. And that may come as a surprise, considering her upbringing. Tori Amos told Steve Paulson that she grew up in a strict Christian household with a father who didn't want any rock music playing in the house.
No, he certainly didn't want music that was bringing in the sexual kundalini awakening of that root chakra energy into the home. He was not about, at the time, how moving hips are holy in themselves. Sometimes I would feel like, I have been saved by the swinging of my hips, Dad. But no, they did not see that the Magdalene was an avatar that should be studied and respected as a prophet in her own right.
Let me ask you about that. Mary Magdalene, who figures prominently in the book that you've written. And I know you are, I mean, you call yourself a daughter of the church. Of course, you grew up in this religious family, but you have rejected much of the church's teachings. But you're very aware of that old church history, I guess what you could call the alternative history of Christianity. And Mary Magdalene, I have the sense, figures very prominently in your thinking.
Mainly because she comes from the sacred feminine tradition, which was very much about marrying your sexuality with your spirituality, not having this division, which, of course, came into play in such a big way when the bishops took over Christianity, hijacked it in a way. The Gospel of Mary Magdalene was discovered in 1886. Now, the idea, Steve, that this gospel has been attributed to her, whether there was a scribe writing it or her PA, whatever you want to call it, it talks about her perspective and that she was experiencing the teacher, Jesus, and she was able to speak in a way that was very different, say, from Peter. And Peter, the disciple, was rejecting the fact that the teacher, Jesus, was confiding in her and was respecting her opinion. Now, do you realize what a different world this would have been if we would have had women popes, women preaching? Because then it wouldn't be about women being incubators and subservient sexually and then shamed for this, carrying the stain of Eve. So The Beekeeper is really about inviting people into not the garden of original sin, but the garden of original sensuality. In the song Original Sensuality, we have Tori going to not God, but we have Tori going to God's mother, Sophia, and asking her about the Garden of Eden and this garden called Earth that's becoming a wasteland. Tori basically says to Sophia, what do I need to do in order to try and make a change so that something will be left for the generations to come? And Sophia says, well, then you must eat of the forbidden fruit.
Original sin. No, I don't think so. Original sin. Sexuality. Original sin. I know it should be original sin. Sexuality. Original sin. No, I don't think so. Original sin.
Talking earlier about Mary Magdalene, and there's another Mary you invoke in one of your songs, Marys of the Sea. Can you tell me about that song?
Marys of the Sea was inspired by the myth that the Magdalene came over to Gaul, to what is France, with two other Marys, fleeing Jerusalem and carrying a child, carrying the child supposedly of the teacher. Now, in France, there is really kind of a wonderful understanding that the Mary Magdalene holds a sacred place, not of the whore, not of the fallen woman or the daughter of Eve, but Eve sort of is resurrected through the Magdalene's teaching of wholeness. She brings them back into her being, and I call this marrying the Marys.
We've been talking about how you are tapping into various mythic figures and archetypes. And I'm wondering if you also find yourself at times drawing on, I guess, what you could call the darker, more dangerous mythic figures that are also out there.
Well, you know, I love those girls. Sekhmut, Pele, and Kali. Naturally, they're there. They're holding space in songs like Barons of Suburbia.
Suburbia, take another piece of my good graces. I'm in my woo, you're in yours. Do we fight for peace as they take another piece of us?
Now, I would think being a rock star could be a dangerous business because you are so adulated, and when you are out there on stage, you are the embodiment, I suppose, of many people's fantasies. I would think that it might be a little hard to deal with all that success.
It can be when you allow yourself to drink that in. You're drinking in, as you were saying, everybody's projection of you, and it takes you away from source. But then, of course, there's the music business side of it that wants to bottle that and contain that and commercialize that and brand that. And that's where the devouring begins. So I had to make a break from that. And I think in a way making Boys for Pele is the reason I'm sitting here today. No, it was not a commercial record, but it was me in search of my independence. It was the beginning of the dark journey. You know, we talk about the Eleusinian mysteries, Demeter, Persephone, the idea that the mother has to let Persephone, Demeter, go down with Hades into the underworld. People talk about it as the rape of Persephone. But Persephone then eventually becomes queen of the underworld because she learns, once you take that journey to the underworld, the question is, do you choose to look at the sides of yourself, or do you become devoured? I mean, there are a lot of rock stars, as you know, that were there in 1991, 92, who aren't with us today for all kinds of reasons. Some of them have stopped making music. Some of them have become, you know, what everybody wanted them to be and don't know who they are anymore. And some of them are dead. I'm saying that there's such a more intriguing path to take than to get drunk with it.
She said, I am the one who taps you on the shoulder when it's your time.
Singer-songwriter Tori Amos, talking with Steve Paulson. Her book is called Piece by Piece. The music you heard is from her album, The Beekeeper.